Welcome back to Expert Instruction, the Teach by Design podcast, where we dive deeper into the research surrounding student behavior by talking with the people implementing these practices, where they work, and with the students they support. I'm Megan Cave.
I'm Danielle Triplett.
What is going on with this weather, Danielle?
Seriously.
Oh my God, you guys, yesterday it was 90 degrees, and in this particular recording studio was so hot and sweaty. It was insane. And today it's literally 65 and raining outside. I don't know how to plan my outfit. I am loving this shift, but I know you're, look at this face.
Nope. I'm a summer California girl. I want the sun as much as possible. And yeah, I drove down from Portland to record today, and I wore brand new shoes that I did not plan for rain. So I'm like stressed out about it a little bit.
I know, we went out to lunch and it was like, oh my God, I don't have a rain jacket.
I'm not prepared.
Where's an umbrella?
That's right. So it snuck up on us, but the forecast has more sun. So we'll see. You never know.
I know, Oregon. It's a weird transition time.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we get into the episode?
I think this
was a great one.
I think so.
So good.
In today's episode, you guys, we're talking about school climate. Specifically, how exactly do schools go about the business of co-creating with their students and families the kind of positive spaces where everyone feels welcome and seen? We wanted to invite some educators to share with us what they've done to create that space in their buildings. And so joining us today are Dr. Ginny Joseph, Kathy Stauffer, and Sun Saturn.
Yeah, they were fabulous.
They were so good.
Amazing guests for everyone today. Ginny is a PBIS and mental health coordinator for the Orange County Department of Education in California. Mm-hmm. She supports schools and districts in their efforts to implement a multi-tiered framework for inclusive behavior supports. Jenny's passionate about creating safe learning spaces by engaging the entire school-wide community.
That's right. And Kathy comes to us from the Saddleback Valley Unified School District in California, where she trains and supports school teams in their implementation of multi-tiered systems of support. In her work, she focuses on fostering respectful, responsible, and inclusive communities.
She shared some great stuff
with
us.
Oh my gosh, so incredible.
Good. And then Sun, amazing administrator. Yeah. He's been the principal at Monroe Middle School in Eugene, Oregon for the last 6 years.
So he's kind of a superstar around here. He's
really
a local guy and we love him so much.
Yes. In fact, we were at a meeting earlier and we mentioned, we're doing Sun's on our podcast. Many of our colleagues were like, say hi to Sun. Oh, that's great. Sun, we love you. Mm-hmm. So before he was at Monroe, he was a high school assistant principal and a middle school teacher before that. And mm-hmm. everywhere he goes, no matter what role he's in, Sun creates supportive space is by engaging his students, staff, and the larger community, and really focuses on building strong relationships with everybody.
Yeah. Our conversation with these three folks today was incredible. It was one of those conversations where both Danielle and I, we left with so many tangible ideas, and we just started talking to each other afterward about all of the different things that they are doing in their spaces and how that relates not only to schools and educational environments, but no matter where we are and the kind of world that we want to create together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me personally, Kathy shared a moment from her mm-hmm. teaching career where she was like, what was that moment that she noticed an environment that wasn't so great? There was a mm-hmm. shift and something happened and the climate started to improve. What was it? And she said that she noticed that shift as soon as she stopped. She changed her focus. Wasn't that it?
Yep.
She changed her focus. And instead of paying attention to the things that she didn't want to see, she started focusing on the things that she did want to see. And immediately she started to notice a difference in her classroom.
Yep. I love that example. It reminds me, I told you this earlier, but PBIS and this work is really about changing adult behavior. And that's a great example of that, of just shifting the way you're looking at things.
Yeah.
Love that. I loved this episode. I took away a lot of things. I think it brings us back to the heart of this work, which is about relationships, right? And whether that's, you know, starting especially with the adults in the building and making those relationships really meaningful and having folks that really recognize one another and see each other as humans and as people, and starting there, that really sets the tone for the larger school-wide community.
Yeah.
I love that some of these folks we were talking to brought up things like the school climate survey and the tier fidelity inventory. We'll link those for you
in our description.
Yeah. But those are great places to start. If you're like, we kind of want to take inventory. What's going on in our building? Like, we've got some great tools that are free to use. So I was glad they shouted those out. We didn't even have to tell them to do it. So love that.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so much I think the biggest thing, though, that I took away from this whole episode was that not only were they just talking about these things that we hear, these like these little nuggets mm-hmm. that we hear, like building relationships and positive school climate mm-hmm. and all of that, it can feel a little bit empty. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that. What does that actually mean to focus on building relationships? Right. Everyone in this episode had some sort of tangible thing that yes. we could take with us and try.
Yep.
And I loved that so much because it really just brings these ideas that can feel conceptual and yes. nebulous and really brings them to a place where we can do something yes. about it. You guys are going to want to listen to this.
You are.
Grab your pencil and paper, yep. make a list of everything that you hear and try and implement one new thing right after.
And there are things that people can literally listen to the episode on the way home from school yep. today and bring into their classroom tomorrow. Like totally. Some of these things, it's totally doable.
Totally.
So take a listen. You'll enjoy it.
Well, welcome everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you guys here. And so today, what we invited you to talk to us about is school climate and yes. the types of spaces that you all have been successfully able to create for where you work and with the students that you all support. And so maybe we just start to dive in and we talk about what it is to create positive school climate. I guess maybe we should start by asking, why do you think it's a good idea to start talking about climate at this point in the year or in where we are as a field in education? Why is this such a good topic to talk about in the first place?
Yeah, what makes it a big deal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just was thinking that right now, our world, even though the pandemic is technically behind us, I think that our students and our society as a whole are just really having a hard time. There was so much uncertainty during that time, so much chaos, so much unknown. Our expectations were unknown. It just created so much that I think that having and focusing on school climate has really given us somewhere to put our efforts so that we can create more of that emotional safety that our students are lacking right now and our society even is lacking. And it gave us the kind of framework of how do we then approach it? Right. And what can we look at it? Because it's always so nebulous in education of how do we approach it? And so I liked looking at it as school climate is so important right now because that's kind of our starting point.
Like speaking to the adults that are in the space, there's been a lot of staff changes, turnover, retirement, whatever has been happening. And I feel like that causes stress and uncertainty for the students, too. Just, you know, having that. Those types of changes. And we obviously know from implementing PBIS that that predictable, safe space can contribute to a sense of calm. So important to keep that in mind. And I also feel like, I don't know what's happening in other areas, but I see a lot of our schools and districts focusing like pandemic's over, social emotional behavioral stuff, kind of not putting that on pause, but it's less of an emphasis and like moving back to a real focus on academics.
Yep.
Yeah. I would chime in and echo what both Kathy and Jenny said. But I think when I looked at this question just a few minutes ago, my mind actually went to the staff side of climate. I know the student side is an obvious one, right? But I was thinking more so about our staff and I think just the level of burnout, the stress, you know, as a staff member, as an educator, it feels like an all-time high, right? And yeah. I tell people when I was a teacher, it was a lot more simple of get out your book, do this worksheet. I'll lecture you. I'll entertain you for a few minutes. We'll have an exit slip. We'll bring it back tomorrow. Now our teachers are expected to do so much more whether it's embedding content into Canvas,
yeah,
managing MacBooks or Chromebooks, worried about cell phone use, and you have the whole SEL component on top of that, and then you still have the academics, right? And so it feels, I know, just based on data and staff surveys and anecdotally, that the teaching and being in education, whether you're certified or classified, is a lot of work. And so I think that's where my head went of why it's such a big deal. And so how do we retain and keep educators and have a good climate for them as well? Obviously, there's a level... They're interconnected, right? The student climate and the staff climate, there's a level of interconnectedness that is, I think, worth a conversation. So
for sure.
Yes. I'm glad you're bringing that up, son. I totally see that change in education too. And again, when I started teaching about 20 years ago, the world was different. Classrooms looked different and the expectations were different. I've also seen that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking, my daughter, she started middle school this year, and just the staff turnover. I mean, I've experienced that as we're working with schools on grants and doing research, but also as a parent, seeing like she had a sub until yesterday and she was so excited. Like, we hired the teacher for science because they had a position to fill. And there's just a lot of vacancies, even going into the school year, that hasn't always been the case. Like, there's just a shortage of staff.
What kind of brought to my mind some of the things that you guys were talking about is that it's a holistic thing, right? That climate, often we talk about the kind of space that we create for students, but you're right, Sun, that it's all about what is right, what is best for our school-wide community, and that creates the kind of space where everyone wants to show up, from students to families to community members to staff, administrators, everybody, right? And then Kathy, when you were talking too, I was thinking about, because Danielle and I have had this conversation about, like, you know, we keep talking about this pandemic thing, like it's still happening. And I think in ways that it is, but I think what it is at this point is that the impact of that, those early pandemic days, is the thing that we continue to feel at this point, and that we're trying to, like, it feels like we're trying to catch up with that and say, like, what is it that, what do we need? What do we do? What do we, you know? And so it's that impact. And I think you're right that a focus on climate and how does our school feel really touches so many of those impact points that it makes it a nice spot to focus our attention.
Yeah. And so many of us are struggling with attendance right now too, that it just makes for, it makes sense to start with, is it somewhere that we as a staff and we as students want to be?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
If we can create that environment, then we can push it forward and decrease the increased attendance rates that we have right now. Right. So,
yes.
Uh-huh. But I also was thinking, like, Castle talks about when Sun was speaking and he said that focusing on the adults in the room, if we aren't well, how do we help the students that are in the room? If we don't know how to self-regulate, how do we support our students in having those skills? Because they still have parents that are out of work and struggling financially because of our economic times. And it's hard. And 100%. So we need to have that skill set as adults in the room before we can ask that of our students.
Totally agree. It starts with us as the adults and modeling that for them. Well, we invited you to join us today, the three of you, because you have amazing reputations for creating really positive school climates.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
People talk about you.
They do. They do. In all the best ways. So those are the kind of spaces people want to be, whether it's as staff members, where we want to send our children, where kids want to show up every day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we know that you've worked with schools that maybe that hasn't always been the case when you first took on that job or entered that working with that building. And some schools have a reputation for just being more challenging than others in terms of climate and culture. So, you know, we're just wondering what those, you know, there's a variety of reasons, but we wanted to pose the question of has every school or classroom you've worked in had a positive climate and culture? And we know the answer is no, but we're kind of wanting to get into that of what you do, what you noticed about those spaces that weren't as positive as you knew they could be.
So yeah. How much of your reputation is because of luck and how much of it is because you actually did something?
I mean, I feel like I've been really fortunate to have worked in a lot of great spaces and schools and districts and been invited into them. And being in my position, I get to go visit some schools doing awesome things. Mm-hmm. So maybe my ratio of positive to corrective might be a little bit more off than
others. So maybe yours is like 80-20 luck to...
Yeah. But I mean, I wish I could answer yes to saying that every school and classroom I've worked or been in had a positive climate, but definitely going back to the relationship piece and the adults in the space, I really feel like that was the starting point for a lot of them, that I noticed, if I had to think about what the patterns were, the similarities, there was at some point just some sort of break in the relationship that hadn't been repaired. And I think, I mean, I've been in a space where it was, you know, maybe just a single incident or person, to like a more global whole school kind of like from the students to the families to the staff, like, you know, kind of, you know, whole school environment that needed repair, I guess I'll say. Mm-hmm. So I feel like starting with a conversation about relationships, maybe if it's more individual, but you know, more holistic or a whole school approach. We used the school climate survey.
Yay.
In that instance. And for all, you know, for the staff, for the students, and for the families as well. And we use that kind of as a starting point to have conversations, as a jumping off point to identify, you know, where would the in be, you know, where are the holes? So that's kind of where we focused in that situation. But I'd love to hear from Sun or Kathy.
Yeah, I know Sun has a real focus on building those relationships and start building those supportive systems based on that. Sun, what do you do? What is, like, this is another thing that comes up is, like, we talk about building relationships and it all starts with relationships. And, like, for some of us, we get what that means. Like, we already have some tools to how we can do that and foster those relationships. But for some of us, that's not so intuitive, or it's not a thing that we actually know how to do that. So what are some things, what's some advice that you have on what it means to build relationships and how do you go about doing it?
Sure. No, thanks for asking. I've got my list here.
Good. I'm glad.
Of course, you got them off and elaborate accordingly. So a couple of things. This is really the question three you asked about, right? Yeah. How do you build connectedness? And so some things mm-hmm. kind of throw them out there. Where we, every time we get together as a staff, we start with our Mustang shout outs, right? We're the Mustangs. Even though I don't love our school colors, we're the Mustangs. Mm-hmm. And so we had our PLC meeting. And so before we get into the instructional side, we're spending 7 minutes on just shouting out from one to another, right? Classified, certified, certified, classified, admin. So that's one thing we do every single time. We're intentional about connecting, even if it's not during a PLC time, even if it's 15 minutes. So we've done some of that over the years, and especially last year when, you know, professional development time is maybe gone by the wayside, then we were like, hey, we're still going to spend 15 minutes meeting every Wednesday after school over coffee and pastries, et cetera.
As adults in the building, like, as adults, you're just building relationships with each other.
Staff, right? Okay. And we have student shout outs where our staff members write shout outs for kids, kind of a card stock, little postcard. And then we have staff shout outs. So staff write into one another and we post them up on our staff room. And then they eventually get in their box so that people can, so the idea is that they're visible to others before we put them in their box. Right. This year we're doing a thing where our advisory groups, we call them connect, and we've got our connect colors. So we've got four different colors by region, and there's a gray team and a red team, and a blue gray, red, blue, and green team. And so we're going to roll that out this next month with school-wide assemblies around different themes and what it means to be connected. We have staff being tangible during our open house. They're serving pizza to our community.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a visibility, you know, just being visible to the people in whatever situation. You've got families coming through or students coming through, making yourselves available. Yep.
That's the next point. Exactly, Megan. So, you know, we do, I spend probably 30 to 38% of my days actively supervising that's a lot. And so, you know, every passing time, myself, vice principal, counselors, our behavior specialists, they're out in the hallways every passing time in the front. So we've strategically placed people in every pretty much corner of the building throughout the day to where there's a healthy presence for supervision, but also just a healthy adult to engage with, right, on a low level. Yeah. And then one thing that we did that in terms of your question is, you know, we've shifted our graduation walk promotion to from your typical, like, come down in a hot gym with 600 people and you get two tickets, even though your grandma's flying from Michigan, she can't come. I'm sorry.
Right. That doesn't feel good.
So we have a courtyard that's conducive to a true walkthrough. And so we have all of our staff lined up and we announce her name and they can bring 40 family members and we truly celebrate them as a community. So that's been really awesome. I don't want to get into the details there, but that's an example of how we build some staff to family community connection as well. And those are some things that we do pretty intentionally throughout the year.
I think that's great. And what's the reaction been to those? The other thing that Danielle and I have kind of talked about is the way that with PBIS, we often focus on some of these tangible things like tokens and rewards and this kind of stuff. And so when you're talking about these shout outs, it sounds like it's one of these tangible items. And I'm just curious about the effect that you've seen. What's the response been? And what have you seen as far as a difference in the relationships that you're able to build staff to staff and then staff to student?
Staff just see them. Kids love them, first of all. I mean, they keep them in their binder, they put them in their locker, they put them on their parents' refrigerator. So we get lots of, I mean, that's a...
Yeah,
that's
parents love them too, right? Yes. Like, that's a big deal. Sure do.
And then the staff-to-staff is really, really powerful as well. You know, for example, we just got out of our meeting and it's like, whoa, like, I didn't know you guys even knew each other. Yeah, so here you are, giving them a shout out. So some of that stuff is hard to measure, you know. It's anecdotal, but we do staff surveys 3 times a year through kind of an outside vendor. And I'd say the survey and the data results kind of corroborate and you know, support those. Maybe some of the anecdotal things we're feeling around staff to staff connection and student staff connection. Mm-hmm.
Son, I think those things are super valuable. And I mean, I've worked with lots of schools and I've seen that. I really think that as a leader, you're modeling that and setting that as the norm to recognize one another, recognize students. And I've witnessed that trickling down into the classrooms. Like, oh, we did that in our meeting. I can do that too, right? Mm-hmm. And secondly, pizza, like feeding, providing food. I'm sure I brought that when I was working, you know, with schools back in the day, doing that. But that gets people there, and it's an icebreaker. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'll say too,
don't underestimate it.
Oh, for sure. Because even if it's not an incentive for families, it's an incentive for students. Because we just have our kiddo has an open house tomorrow, and we were talking about how we were going to make that all happen with our own personal logistics. And she was like, but there's going to be pizza.
Your daughter said that.
There's going to be pizza. We have to go. Right. Yeah.
I learned that because I do a lot of PDs for our district, and our local credit union will come and bring food for us as long as I give her a little bit of time. But she'll also bake fresh cookies for us.
What?
On the spot, fresh cookies, which is
kind
of amazing.
How did you learn that? You just got that.
Sometimes
the luck.
You just have to ask.
Listen, that's the luck,
provide.
Though.
Yeah.
The credit union providing.
Yeah, you got to go with the teacher's credit union. Come but on. Another thing that I've actually seen that's really cool is that one of our principals actually sets aside time during her staff meeting, and they kind of start out with this. It's a Google extension called Autocrat, and they link it to the form. They fill out the form with the student's information, and it fills out these, and it's much prettier than just an email or like Parent Square or something. Like, that's nice as a parent to get that message and it's great. And so I don't want to undercut that at all. Like, positive message is positive message. But when it's pretty, it's just nicer, right?
The aesthetics matter.
Yeah, it comes across as this cute little digital postcard that parents receive. And it's exciting to have. Like, back in the day, we'd get something in the mail, and that doesn't happen anymore. So how do we make it just as engaging in our digital culture we now live in? And so I thought that was kind of cool that they just give them a couple of minutes at the beginning of the staff meeting, kind of like Sun does with his staff, right? Which is so important. I love that.
I love that too. And I'll say this, Kathy, as my daughter started middle school this year, so I'm getting used to the communication style, and it's just different than her elementary, which is great. But it's hard sometimes to sort of filter and say, okay, what's this information? But if something comes that's cheerful, that is positive, like that catches our attention. So there's something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm. Great. School climate really is about like walking in and how it feels in your building. Like, you just kind of, I don't know, there's something that's a little bit intangible about it, and you just don't know it until you feel it. Right. And so I'm curious was there a time when you used to walk into your building or your classroom and you were like, okay, we're still working on it. Okay. And then there was a day where you walked in and you were like, well, that was a good day. Like,
yeah, you felt the shift.
There was a shift that happened. And I'm curious what that was. And if there was, if you can tell us a story about it. And if that happened to you, I'm curious to, if you have a sense of what it was that really resonated and like clicked. And so I'm just kind of curious about that. What did it feel like before? What did it feel like when you noticed a difference? And what was it that you think really contributed to that change?
For me, I resonate with like this question and thinking back into my classroom. When I first started, CBIS wasn't, I mean, I'm a veteran educator at this point. And so looking back, it wasn't as established in Southern California at that point when I first started teaching, and I was young and 23 years old, and I was really searching for what to do because I was struggling, and we didn't learn about classroom management, and there was nothing consistent in how we learned about what to do. It was kind of like, here's your content and here's your keys.
I think that's still a very common experience.
Right. And so I really had to search for that. And I remember that I started to change my focus of what I was looking for.
Yes.
Because I read about school-wide PBIS and it wasn't at my school at the time. And I thought, I really want this. And so I approached my principal, and we weren't at a point where that was the cultural shift we were ready for. But I thought, I'm going to try this thing in my classroom mm-hmm. and see how it goes. And so I really set up my own expectations in my class and created more consistent environment. And the students that I was serving at that point came from more more struggling backgrounds. It was a Title I school. And so they were having a tough time, and they really thrived with knowing what was expected of them and having an adult that they felt like they could trust. So I spent a lot of my time building relationships, walking during lunch with them, spending time with my kiddos, talking to them like the 2x10 before the 2x10 was a thing where you'd spend 2 minutes a day for 10 days talking to kids. I was doing that going, I just want to talk to you about something that's not education based.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
What are you doing? So
yeah.
I just have conversations with kiddos and create that consistent environment for them that just felt safe. And I remember once I changed my focus from focusing on how am I going to change this behavior because this kid doesn't get punished enough to how am I going to focus on the positive things because that's what I want to see more of. And if I'm paying attention to it, I'll see it more. So we see the things we're looking for, I think. And so when I changed my focus and then kind of drew attention to those pieces, that's when I really saw the change in my classroom. And it started to just replicate and kind of like this little tsunami in my own classroom.
Right.
It builds on itself.
Kathy, I love that example you shared. And it resonates with me very much. When I started teaching and had a classroom, I was like, what am I doing? And I know I did. I focused on the kids that weren't following my expectations. And when similarly, I joined the PBIS team at our school. It was like a new thing. And I was just like, this makes so much sense. This is so helpful because I didn't have any of that. The systematic approach. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny?
I feel like I just want to say thank you to Sun because I feel like everything he described earlier and what he's built in terms of, you know, creating a climate, I think that makes all the difference. And in all the schools that I've worked in, the leader in the building, the leader of the grade level, the leader of the department, it all makes a huge difference in that feeling that you're describing.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it also comes from, you know, district level. What support is that administrator getting to have those kind of skills and attitudes and leniency? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. I'll chime in to the question. I don't remember the moment to the original question, right?
Yeah.
But we had one of those moments yesterday, you know, in terms of it's action practical. And we've had a really rough start to the school year. We've had a couple of big things that happened that have just like, that's taken up all my time and our attention for the right reasons. Yeah. And so, but yesterday finally felt like, I think we're here.
Yeah,
we do a thing called, we have a lot of schools have like a flex time. And so, you know, it's essentially a 30-minute period twice a week where kids can either access interventions or go to a class to get math help or language arts help, et cetera, right? Kind of in a smaller environment. Or if you don't get pulled for that, you can access an enrichment or extension or just have kind of free time in a sense.
I see.
So we this is our fourth year doing it, I think third or fourth, and we've shorted up and we shorted up the summer, and yesterday's our first day and it felt so good.
Love it.
I walked around to every single room that was hosting something, and as I went around, we had, you know, 25 kids playing chess and with adults in the room, and another 22 kids playing board games, and we had a couple kids dancing, and we had kids playing basketball. We had a couple of our affinity groups going. We had ping pong going and foosball, and the courtyard was literally a ghost town, and the hallways were a ghost town because that's what we've. To the podcast, that's what we've been teaching, and that's what we expect, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like I tell people, it's our flex time is like it's like PBIS and SEL colliding manifested, and so that felt really good yesterday to finally have that moment of like, okay, I think we're here today.
Yeah, at it least just today. Feels like this is what tomorrow, we wanted. Yeah,
tomorrow could be a mess. I want to be clear.
You are really a middle good. School so, administrator. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Finally hit that mark after just a long couple of weeks. So that was a good aha moment. And we spent years refining and shoring up our processes and communication expectations. both universal, but also targeted and kind of that tier two communication. But so that felt good to your question. Yeah.
So, and that's a great example too of just how this work takes time. Progress can be slow, and I'm a big proponent of that, doing a few things really well over time and helping move the dial. I think that's what makes it sustainable and make it work.
Yeah, so. And to that point, I'm curious too, you talked about PBIS and in your school, and all of you here are familiar and implementing and supporting schools to do this work. And I'm curious about how that framework and leveraging those systems, practices, and data have helped you achieve a more positive school climate, and how that kind of helps you sustain that effort over time. Like you were talking about, we've been working for years on this thing, and today or yesterday felt great. And so, like, how is it? What is it about that framework that you really kind of lean into when you're talking about school climate? Maybe Ginny, do you want to start us off as a more regional person? What are your coaching tips for schools?
Yeah, and so I guess PBIS definitely helps build it. I think in terms of sustainability, the things that I see for schools that are able to maintain are, of course, leadership support. The administrator has to be on board, but the systems. So, we're meeting regularly, we're using our data, and that's informing our practices, how we support the students and how we support the staff who then support the students. So that's kind of what comes front of mind, but interested to hear what Sun and Kathy have to say too.
For us, we've been working really hard on having the TFI and those components just be front of mind, because it gives us the direction of where we're going, as opposed to it's so nebulous when you talk about school climate and how do we start it? Where do we go? What's our next step? And the TFI really kind of grounds it so that we can bring it back and looking at that data piece of fidelity of implementation so that we can grow everything a little bigger, but and refine it, because I think what Sun said is amazing of none of us ended up in this overnight.
Yeah.
When we're talking about how much work it's been to get to this point, it's just, it's a journey. Yeah. And I always joke right now, I'm working with a lot of high schools, and high schools move like a cruise ship, right? Like once we change direction, we are awesome and good to go, but a staff of 150 people, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And that's hard work. And we're talking consistent systems. So it's always looking back at where you are and then looking forward and creating a plan. And those action plans that we come up with along the way have really helped to kind of guide our work and our next steps so that we don't stall out and we keep focused on it. And our behavioral statement of purpose just kind of keeps us grounded and having that same North Star that we're headed towards. So that's how we've kind of gone about it, but it's a journey.
Sure is. I like the metaphors you put in though with the cruise ship.
I was like, where's she going with the cruise ship? Yeah. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about the all you can eat buffet? Are we talking? No, the movement. Got it.
Yeah. Sun, what do you have to add?
Oh gosh, I don't know if I'm on the right target. I'm aiming at the right target, but I think a couple things come to mind as I'm listening to Kathy specifically about your question. One thing that's been valuable for me is bringing my PBIS team together in the summertime through extending contract and feeding them and specifically Thai food, right? And then getting this their brain together to process all these things around data and tier one, tier whatever is under the umbrella of PBIS. And so getting feedback from them is really valuable, not only because they're really smart people, but also, just being, having shared leadership is really important to climate and culture. So it's not just me at the top making all these isolated, that's just not healthy. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing I'd say. And then maybe a tangible example of how this plays itself out. So for example, this year, like many other school districts, we changed our cell phone policy where now it's completely off and away for the whole day. Right, Grant High School, it's like they're locked in these magnetic boxes now, right?
yes.
so it's a huge paradigm shift for a lot of people, but for us, my I always go back to, okay, how do we sustain this practice? How do we make it so that teachers aren't just hammering on cell phone conversations every minute with every kid, right? And so one thing we did after lots of conversations and processing with different people is, okay, how about we edit our tech tracker. So super simple, again, user-friendly tech tracker, and a teacher sees a kid, all they do is put it in and drop it. And then I've got support staff that do all the communication, that write all the referrals. And then, so we created cookie cutter templates that are universal. So it's the same language and it feeds into our dean of students / assistant principal. So that's an example of, I think, just thinking about a system and the impact on staff, because my lens is always like, I can't impact my teacher specifically anymore because they have so much on their plate. So how do I distribute workload and roles to that are sustainable to support them and support our school climate overall? And so that so far has felt good in the first couple of weeks, really good and really sustainable. So I don't know if that lines up with your question, but that's what came to mind in terms of like data and sustainable systems. So
I had you've generated so many questions in my mind. I'm going to start with this one. Do you involve your staff in, like, when you come up with this idea, like, I want to make it as easy and as efficient for you. We're making this change to our policy. I know what that means as far as the burden. So what do you recommend? Like, how do you engage your staff in the solution that you come up with for a problem like changing a cell phone policy in your school, which is like a big deal, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one at least was more of a district level conversation to start with. But then of the rollout, the communication, the consequences, the implementation, that was all staff based. Yeah. So I started with our sub RPVIS team to talk about like, what is the first violation equal? What is the second equal? How do we document it? I don't have the capacity as a teacher to tell them to put in the locker and to write the referral and to email home. That's a lot for a cell phone, right? And so we start to look at that and really drill down and be like, how do we think creatively around this to where it's sustainable for the teacher, but also our support staff and for admin, right? So that's just an example of how that one played out.
Kathy and Ginny, your schools also have cell phone policies that have become a little more restricted?
So interesting. Our governor just signed into law that there is going to be a no cell phone policy in California. It doesn't start until 2026, but contacting Sun for any pro tips by that point.
I'm curious about that because it's a topic that we hope to explore a little later in our podcast season, specifically around technology and its effect on student behavior. But just in your experience, just anecdotally, what is that impact that you all have seen with cell phones being more of a barrier sometimes in education and in the places where there have been new policies around restrictions related to cell phones and other technology in school? Have you seen any improvement in the climate in your school?
I can give a personal example, and I bet Kathy has something to say too, but my kids, I have one in high school and one in middle school, and they're different buildings, and one has no policy around restricting cell phone use, and the other is you may not have it out unless it's before or after school. And I do see a difference in the way that the kids socialize with each other, and so I do think that has got to be having some sort of impact. And so my daughter, who goes to the middle school and is restricted in her cell phone use, was asking, when I get to high school, is this policy going to change? Because you know what she really wants to do? She wants to take selfies and pictures with her friends.
Right.
And she can't do that.
Yeah.
So anyways, Kathy, anything to add?
I have my own sophomore at home and a sixth grader. And my sixth grader does not yet have a cell phone. But, you know, it's hard because, and like I was saying earlier, depending on your staff and how you're going, I literally read this assembly bill this afternoon because it came across my desk and I was like, oh, geez, what does that actually mean in implementation? And I think that it's trying to garner that feedback because even though it says phone-free schools, there's still a lot of ambiguity in how it's written. And so it's up to a lot of interpretation. I'm kind of looking at LAUSD started this year with their cell phone policy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're a massive school huge. District. So yeah, if they the can make it happen with consistency, right? I am taking notes.
I know. That's they right. need to like publish a paper they about might. It.
I imagine we'll be getting a lot of resources coming out in the next year or two from California on so. This topic.
I think so. Yeah,
leading the way in cell phone use in education. We'll see.
I know it's new for you guys this year, Sun, but have you noticed in the first few weeks of school a difference at all?
100%. Yeah. Anecdotally, like 100%. I mean, last year and years past, it's, you know, walking in the hallways, even if it's supposed to be off in your pockets, the constant look, the constant locker, the constant hum of I'm going to snap this or Snapchat the primary driver for our demographic. And it's all, it's, you know, it's I'm going to take a picture of this kid and it's funny, but we're friends and none of that is happening. And so kids are actually like in talking with one another and each
other. Wow. Sounds so crazy to talk about.
What a concept, right? And so, I'm curious to get some. So we did our first student survey yesterday. So we'll continue to roll those out throughout the year and eventually get some feedback on cell phones specifically, but in terms of anecdotally and engagement, like day and night. And so, so it's been really positive so far. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll make sure to tell my middle schooler. See? People notice.
I want to highlight what Sun said earlier, which I'm hearing as this conversation's evolved, though, of how it's also taken this off of the teacher's plate.
We're better at the student input piece, and the parent input is a little tougher because they're not in front of us. And so that one has always been tough over the last couple of decades. Is we don't, and sometimes we don't know what to ask or how to ask it so that we can get feedback that can support us as well. But I was just thinking about our student teams, like all of our schools that have student leadership down to our elementary schools, they have students on their teams that are giving feedback, which is great to see. And to the point of like, if you think about Heart's Ladder, that just the token kid that's on the team versus some kid that's actually giving feedback and a part of the process and leading and bringing in other kids to give that feedback and information that actually shapes the systems around them. And we even have one of our schools has started an elective where the kids are actually creating the lessons at this point of what to bring out, which is awesome to see. It's one of our continuation high schools and love it. It's just amazing to see that amount of co-creation happening with students that really need this positive school climate and culture. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones leading the charge on their campus and going out and they just are having such great success. So it's great to see that level of creation. So the kids are in their class talking about, well, what didn't go well? What went well in the lesson today? What didn't go well? What can we do next time? If this is the lesson that we started with, because they started with some canned lessons to kind of start them out because they don't write lessons, they're kids. And they're really taking it and going, this didn't make any sense to us. We'd rather say it this way. And, you know, some of us are looking up on Urban Dictionary. What does that mean? Is that okay? Right. We're a little older, you know, gotta make sure that it's okay to go out there. But, but it's been great to see that level of commitment from the students. They're making signs and talking to their peers and talking about, well, like, what kind of information do you want it to be? Is it just that? What kind of acknowledgement do you want?
Right.
And being able to have that feedback and not just with our older kids, but our younger kids too. So we've been doing really well with that. And then I think as a parent, having that open communication, we get a lot of, you touched on it earlier, we get a lot of newsletters and texts, and I have two different kids at two different schools. There's lots of messages that come in and you're trying to stay on top of them as a parent, especially a working parent going, what school was that sent me something about, I don't know, whatever event it is. And you're like, where was that? I can tell you, I've shown up to a dine out night on the wrong night. I think three times before I finally figured out the right night. Yep. So it's hard to keep in track, but being really intentional about the questions that we ask and leaving them open-ended so that we can get that honest feedback and making sure that the communication is really reciprocal has been a goal. So that we're continue to work towards.
I love that. Danielle is always like, whenever someone's like, well, what should I do to acknowledge my students? She's always like, well, ask the students. Did you ask the students what they'd like?
Oh, yes. I repeat that so many times. Yay. Yeah. They go, well, they don't like any of our prizes. Right. Well, have you asked them what they do like?
just listening too. We were talking about that even in with
yes.
our yes. work of yes. how important it is to ask open-ended questions and to carve out time to just listen and yeah. accept that feedback versus we're in this model of giving and disseminating information. So love to hear that. Sun, we'd love to hear some examples from your experience.
Got a couple things. Again, similar what Kathy was talking about with kids. We're fortunate this year, this is our first year having an actual leadership class. Mm. And so it's pretty common in high school, but the middle school, it's not so common. So we're super excited about that. So they actually created the survey for students. So they made the survey.
Around the cell phones?
No, just like a 3-week check-in survey.
Oh, like how's school going?
Yeah, how's school going and all the questions. So
I love it.
They made the survey in class and they kids took it a couple of days ago. So that was super awesome. For kids, yeah, we do our own. So we'll do those 2-3 times a year and then we do parent surveys. But after the first one, a lot of parents aren't filling them out. So we'll have to figure that out. And because, you know, they're getting bombarded with all sorts of communication, right? So trying to find that balance. And we have our typical site councils and stuff like that, you know, once a month here. I do a thing once a month called Coffee with the Principal. I had one this morning, actually, where it's just an open forum to, I don't ever have an agenda I just buy or make coffee and they come in and we talk about whatever they talk about. And so we do that once a month and parents appreciate that. So we had one this morning. And then what I hear from parents, I'm an elementary kid parent. And what I hear is as your kids get older, it's harder to be involved in the school. And so, so we take pride in just, I think my mantra since I've been here is like the more healthy adults we can have on campus, the better. So we make it really easy for our parents to volunteer. You know, we had 4 moms today wiping tables and supervising the cafeteria and a mom organizing our clothing closet. And we've got our moms are running. I keep on saying moms because that's most of who they are.
Typical.
I
want to be clear.
We've got a couple of our parents running our student store. So we try to provide the infrastructure for them and make it easy and limit barriers so that they can just go and be. So that's another thing that my secretary specifically, that's a shout out to my secretary, Stephanie. She does a great job of setting up a clean, clear system of communication infrastructure for parents to volunteer and engage. So those are just some examples of what we do here. Yeah.
Yeah. You just love like it. What can be done around the school? It's just in the same way we'll ask the students, we'll ask the teachers, ask your staff, what do they need help with?
Right.
Wiping down the table in the cafeteria. Great. Let's put a volunteer
on it. Let's
do
it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's true though. When you go from elementary to middle and then high school, there is a big shift in parent involvement. And it's partially, I know several of us have adolescent kids and my daughter's the same. Like she doesn't want me even to pick her up. Or if I pick her up and say, okay, walk 10 feet away, I'm like, what happened? So there's that shift too. So I have to get creative about how we can get our parents in the door and let them know, yes, you're still welcome. We could use your help, but it looks different.
Yeah.
So, love these examples.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much, you guys, for sharing all of your wisdom and your leadership in this area. There's so many tangible ideas that you guys have shared with us and the ways that it's affected the climate in your buildings. And I know that I took away a bunch of ideas.
Tons.
So I'm hopeful that everybody listening has something written down on their list of things too. So thanks so much, you guys, for taking the time today to talk about all of this. It's so great.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. This was fun.
Oh, good. We're glad to hear that.
I enjoyed myself.
Collaboration. Hearing from everyone. Appreciate it.
Yeah.